Brother Wainwright, we want you to come and take your liberty tonight, amen, and preach the word of the Lord to us, amen. And we're so honored tonight for the glory and the power of the Holy Ghost. Are you thankful for the truth of the Lord? Amen. Praise God. Stand with me. Amen. He knows tonight. I've already talked to him. I said, you preach what you feel in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want God to speak to my heart. How about you? You want the Holy Ghost tonight to speak to you? Amen. Worship the Lord and let God have his way.
Why don't you just clap your hands and give God thanks today? Come on, his presence is in this house. Come on, has he been good to anybody? Come on, that's all right for the church down the road, but for the people that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, he's been so good. He's been so good, so good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. What an honor it is to be in the house of the Lord on a Thursday night. And so grateful to hear of all of the wonderful things going on in the kingdom of God. And I say this often. I may say it again for it's over with, but you eat some of the same food, wear the same clothes, sing the same songs. You can let me say the same thing. But we could be in a graveyard somewhere tonight. Could be in a hospital room somewhere. You could be strung out on drugs in a back alley somewhere. A lot of places we could be. But here we are in the house of the Lord, feeling what we feel. My, what a privilege it is today. And I don't want to keep you standing long. I'm cognizant of the fact that you've worked all week. There's still some week left to go. And I don't want to hold you forever, but I really do feel like the Lord has come to meet with us tonight. And you have many a great men of God that stand behind this sacred desk. And I am so humbled to be able to saddle up alongside each of them. No greater, obviously, than your pastor, Pastor Cross White. What fine leadership this church is blessed with. Your pastor, your first lady, I cannot say enough good about them. Our paths have intermingled for years just through family connection and the history of my family in East Texas, and then the privilege we've had of ministering here already once, and just to be able to come back again, I count it a high honor. I don't take this preaching thing lightly, considering where we are in this world and how close we are to the coming of the Lord. It could be our last service. And if this is it, I want to go out with a bang. Amen. I don't want to go out dead on this side, and we're going to spend all of eternity shouting holy, 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 and dancing and running, and amen. We might as well have a little bit of heaven while we're here. Amen, amen. And so I honor this church. Thank you for the confidence in letting me come. And if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. I give honor to my wife tonight. Love her so very much. Thankful that she's with me. And such a dynamic part of my ministry. I could not do what I get to do without her. And she's typically very quiet. She don't say much. So if y'all looking for her to sing, play, testify, that's not really her thing. But she loves to pray. She loves to love people. And if nothing else, she's my amen corner. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. I believe that what we're going to talk about today is only going to improve. It's only going to propel what's already being done here. And there's always room for improvement. We've never reached, you know, until we walk on streets of gold, we're not there yet. And I believe what God has given us will help us take this church to the very next level. I don't have a pretty sermon. If that's what you're expecting, I'm sorry, but I do feel like God's given me something. 2 Kings chapter 7, familiar territory, familiar scripture. There were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. They said one to another, why set we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. We shall die there. And if we sit still here, well, we die also. Therefore, come, let us fall And to the host of the Syrians, if they save us, we live. If they kill us, we die. Verse 5 says, and they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp, behold, no man was there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and of horses and of a great host. And they said one to another, the king of Israel, they've hired against us kings of the Hittites and Egyptians to come upon us. And they arose and they fled in the twilight, left everything they had. They fled for their life. These four lepers in verse 8 stumble into the camp, the uttermost part, and they went from tent to tent and did eat and drink and carried silver and gold and raiment. And they went and hid it and came again and entered and thence also and went and hid that too. And then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace if we tarry till the morning light. Some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. If you brought your shovel to church tonight, put it away. This is for everybody. Don't shovel it over to your neighbor. Say, boy, they really need this. Don't say, hey, I wish so-and-so is it. No, God knew who was going to be here before you ever got here. So it's for you. It's for me. It's for everybody. I want to talk to us for a few moments today. The antidote to famine. The antidote to famine. Once again, would you lift your hands, lift your voices, ask God to talk to you. God, speak to our hearts. Make a difference today. God, you know what's needed in this house. God, take us to deeper places. God, don't let us remain where we are tonight, but let us leave this house changed, transformed by your word and by your spirit, God. God, finish what you're starting here today, God. I'm asking you, let the anointing destroy every yoke of bondage. Let the word be spoken with clarity. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. God bless you today. You can be seated. Thank you for standing in reverence to the word of the Lord. When you read what we have just read today, you could say that out of all of the preach-worthy material provided to us in this passage of Scripture, there is much to preach, much to preach. And I would be remiss to do anything or to attempt to say anything without first highlighting a simple truth that relates to all of us in the building today. And that simple truth is God knows how to use people that just don't have it all together. Can somebody say, thank you, Lord? If that don't make you smile, your smiler's broke tonight. If you know anything about leprosy, you obviously know these four men are men who did not have it all together. If you don't get anything else out of this service today, hear this. If you're here feeling like you don't have it all together, you've come to the right place tonight. Because the God we serve, he specializes in restoration and in putting broken things back together. Amen. I'm going to say it again. The God we serve, he specializes in restoration and putting broken things back together. Yeah, man. You're sitting in a church house today that you don't have to have a certain pedigree. You don't have to have all of your ducks in a row in order for God to do something with your life. As a matter of fact, God draws near to those that are broken. That's why we have a move of the Holy Ghost in the jail cell, because there's some broken people there that God says, hey, I can do something with brokenness. If you sit there today thinking I'm missing pieces of myself, I've lost something of myself, I'm here to tell you God knows how to take care of it today. Amen. I don't care what the cause is. I don't care if you lost something because of your own decision or if perhaps somebody else is the cause or if life has just dealt you a hand that you feel like I have nothing left to offer. Hear me today. God knows how to take whatever's left. God knows what to do with leftovers today. Amen. There's not a mama in the house that's made a dinner and waited a day or two and ended up having to throw away whatever's left over because nobody wanted it. But I'm happy to report today, God does not throw the leftovers away. God knows how to take the pieces and the fragments and the remnants of what used to be. And when he gets done, restoration and the miraculous. I wish I had some leftovers that can say, I know what it's like to be nothing left but pieces. But I can stand and testify today and say, look what the Lord has done. Look what I used to be. Look where I once was. But oh, thank God for the mercies and the grace of a mighty God who picked me up and put my life back together again. Where would we be today had it not been for the Lord on our side? Amen, amen, amen. Now let me today, I know I'm young and 33 and we're supposed to just hit it on all cylinders right out the gate, but let me just kind of take my time and talk to you today. These four lepers that we're looking at, they are certainly peculiar. The Bible does not name them, does not give us their origin story, does not tell us how they got in the place that they were, if they knew each other before becoming lepers together or how they met up. The writer simply pens, there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. No doubt people avoided and went around them as far as possible, proceeding with great caution. If you know anything about leprosy, you didn't just go up and shake the leper's hand. You would do as most. You would do your best to go the opposite direction. It was safe to say, I think, to say that the sight was horrifying, as most cases of leprosy were. Your flesh and pieces and limbs going missing. Basically, you decompose while you're alive. And it's nothing new today. We all know leprosy, it was ugly and it was disfiguring. And most of the time, it was fatal. It was cruel. And biblically, we know that leprosy is a type or a parallel or it's symbolic of what sin is, because sin, it too is ugly. And sin is disfiguring. And sin can be fatal. And sin can be cruel. The difference between then and now is that we have a cure called Jesus for the leprosy problem. We have a cure called Jesus for the sin problem. And it don't matter if you walked in here decomposing in your spirit today. God knows exactly how to take whatever's missing and bring it back. God knows how. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And no doubt, this story has been, it's been preached across this pulpit, or you've heard it in some fashion somewhere in your walk with God. And you're like me, we've heard it preached. It was their faith that stood them up and wrapped their arms around each other as they began to march. I've heard it. It was pure determination that brought them to some kind of moving position. I've heard it was nothing more than an attitude that caused them to leave where they were and go to where they went. And surely all of those are correct and perhaps even more. Nothing wrong with any of it. Maybe it was a culmination of all of those things. But I want to submit to you today what God impressed upon me and the Holy Ghost to bring to this church. And that is what this story holds. These four men, if we could learn anything from them, if we could take anything away from their story, it is what I believe would benefit the youngest to the eldest here today the most. Are you with me still? This one thing that four lepers possessed is the exact same thing that I believe it's going to take for the sinner and the saint and the apostolic church to rise up from wherever you are and to move to where God wants us to go. You must understand today, it is not the will of God for us to remain in the same place forever. Amen. It's not the will of God for us to hunker down and to hold up and to wait for Jesus to come back. It's not the will of God for us to sit here with a we might as well sit here until we die mentality. I've already done that plan of salvation stuff. I've punched my one-way ticket to heaven, and I'm not doing nothing else until God comes back. I want you to understand today, that's not God's will. There is a place of victory, and there is a place of provision, and there is a place of fulfillment. There's salvation that awaits all of us today. The question you got to ask yourself is, how bad do you really want it? Again, I know who I'm preaching to today. I sat there and heard all of the wonderful things going on, and you may think, well, it's almost contradictory what you're preaching to us today, but again, I believe God wants to elevate this church, this body, to another level. I want you to consider today these four men sitting at the gate, the outskirts of a city. A great famine has swept through the land. These men barely able to do anything. Their bodies weakened, hanging on by a thread, if you will. No doubt their physical and mental limitations pushing them to the very edge. And as they sit there, a cloud of death looming over them and all around them, a situation filled with hopelessness, a story that does not seem to have a happy ending. And all of a sudden, something begins to happen. Now, y'all have all felt what these four lepers felt before. It was a little gnawing on the inside of them. Little something started hurting just a little bit here and there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying today because you've experienced it. It was more than an awakening. It was more than a realization. It was more than anything that we could talk about today. But I believe the one thing that caused four men with hardly anything left to offer to stand to whatever they had left and to begin to move in the direction of provision, it was called hunger. Amen. I said it was called hunger today. And I come to preach to this wonderful congregation about something that's going to shake this church. It'll shake this community. It'll shake your neighborhood. It'll shake the city all around you. If we could ever just get a hold of it for what it really is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I understand how it is. Not everybody in the church might get on board, but somewhere if we could just get about four folks to say, hey, I feel something that I haven't felt before, and I can't sit here anymore, but I gotta do something with hallelujah. I gotta do something. I gotta go somewhere. Hallelujah. We got to get beyond the mentality of it's us four and no more. I'm saved and sanctified and on my way to glory. I'm going to tell you today, I'm just being real with you. If you don't know anything else about Brother Wainwright, I'm as real as you can get. I'm going to tell you like it is. I hope that's all right today. But we've preached all over the nation. God's been so good. I'm so humble today. But having been in enough revivals now, almost 3 years on the field, I can tell you the churches that we see God doing the most and the churches that are having the greatest revival in this end time are churches that are willing to lay aside every intimidating, every pride, everything that could cause them and hinder them and say, you know what, we've got to do something like we never done. We've got to get hungry. I come on a Thursday night with an assignment from heaven to ask Apostolic Lighthouse, how hungry are you willing to get? Are you satisfied with what you got? Are you willing to make up your mind? God, I want more. We've got to see more. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Let's take these scriptures and look at them for a moment. The Bible says these men rose up in the twilight. Is that what your Bible said? It's more than just a time of day. As far as these men were concerned, as where they were, it was the twilight moments of their life. You got to understand leprosy today. As far as they were concerned, it was almost over for them. One foot in the grave, if you will. And I never find where they were healed, where they were miraculously made whole. I can only assume leprosy finished what it started. But none of that matters today. All we need to know is that this thing called hunger caused them to rise up in the twilight hours. Just before it was almost over, hunger caused them to rise up and do something in the last few moments that were left. And hunger took them from where they were to where fulfillment was. Hunger caused them to do something about their present situation. Hunger overcame every fear of failure. I'm telling you today, it was hunger that changed everything for four lepers sitting by a gate waiting to die. And here we are today in the year 2024. And we know not the hour nor the day that Jesus is going to return. All we know is it could be any time. And as far as I can tell, we are living in the twilight hours. It's not going to be too long now that the clouds are going to part and the trump of God is going to sound and Jesus is coming back again. This world is wrapping up. We're living the very last of the last days. We're in the twilight moments, and whatever's left and whatever time remains, I want you and I to be busy working for the Lord. I feel the Lord has prompted me to let you know that if we don't get a real, raw, old-fashioned hunger for the things of God and for His Spirit and for His presence and for His will to be done and for the kingdom to be advanced, we are going to continue to live in the famine until He returns. And we ourselves may make it, but we will leave behind a city that is executed by the famine. And we had the remedy the entire time. We had the antidote to the famine all the while. Hope you're hearing me today. We can have so much more than what we have here today. You say you're coming in right out of all of this the first night starting out, and you're gonna hit us upside the head with hunger. You better believe I am, because God, He wants you to have more than what you have. I know we ought to be content with such things as we have, but I'm gonna tell you something. God is a God that doesn't just stop at the very end. He's a God of abundance. He's a God of overflow. He says, yeah, you're blessed with what I've already given you, but I'm ready to give you some more. He's ready to pour out more of His Spirit. He's ready for more Bible studies to be taught. He's ready for more people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But the question of it all is, how hungry are you willing to become? The common problem we find in many a church is that they are waiting on God. But I'm going to tell you something today. We're not waiting on God in this church. I don't feel that. I believe God's waiting on us. And God has sent us here today to tell us and remind us that He will feed they which are hungry. But God's not going to force feed you. That's it. Is this all right for a Thursday night? I know you don't know me and I don't know you, but we know the same God. And God's putting this thing together tonight right out the gate to tell you, you have to be hungry for what He wants to do with you and for this church. I've preached about it here at the youth rally a year ago or so, about the old days and sawdust floors and no air conditioning and no padded pews and chairs. And they sit out there under the starlight skies and into the wee hours of the morning. But they would see move after move after move of the Holy Ghost, all because somewhere they were hungry more than anything else in this world. Their top priority was making for sure we have a move of God. We have a demonstration of the Spirit. I'm going to tell you today, if we're ever going to see the end time harvest like God wants, it's going to have to be because a church makes up our mind. We know there's things to be done. We know there's jobs to be worked. We know there's education to be gained. But before anything else, we got to seek first the kingdom of God. We got to get hungrier than we've ever gotten. And God will honor. God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. Let's just talk about this for a minute tonight, looking at this subject called hunger. These four men exampled it so well, and we could really learn from something from them today. One of the greatest things we ought to take away from this passage is what hunger does to you. And one of the greatest things is that hunger blinded them from seeing each other's deficiencies. Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody sat there that day in a group of those lepers and made excuses. Well, we could go to the enemy's camp, but you're missing a foot. We could go over there and see what's happening, but you're missing a hand. No. Hunger said, hey, I know you're missing this or that, but I'll be your hands and you be my feet. I'll be your ears and you be my eyes. What it was a prime example of what the body of Christ ought to be. Don't let me lose you today. Too many times we get right on the verge of a great breakthrough and a mighty revival, but we look across the aisle and say, well, we can't have revival because they're too old and they're too young. Come on, I don't mind preaching by myself today. I'm going to obey the Holy Ghost. We don't have this talent or that talent. And what about all these other churches? They're doing this, that, and the other. Look at what we don't have. Can I tell you today, hunger will let you see things not for what they are. Hunger will elevate your eyesight where you start looking through eyes of faith. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something today. I'm going to tell you today what leprosy does. Leprosy leaves scars. Leprosy leaves some people without. Not everybody that comes through the door is going to look the same. You young people hearing this preacher right now. Yeah, how about in the back row? Y'all hearing what the preacher's saying? Not everybody that's going to come to this church is going to act the same or have the same talents or have the same ability. But if our level of hunger is where it should be, then hunger will blind you from the differences and nothing else will ever matter except you say, hey, we're going to join up one with the other and we're going to make up the differences in one another. And we can march together and we can go to the enemy's camp and we'll let hunger drive us and just see what God will do. Everything that happened in that story, it started with hunger. Four hungry lepers overlooking each other's shortcomings, missing pieces and flaws. You want to know what happens when you stop looking at your brother and sister's deficiencies? Unity starts happening. You can't have real revival without unity. Day of Pentecost came, the recipe's still the same. They were all praying and they were all in unity. It's going to take prayer and unity for us to reap the harvest. Amen. Amen. And when you come to church and all you see is the negative in people, I'm going to tell you today, you're messing up the harvest of what God wants to do. It's a lot easier to agree with somebody that you don't see the bad in. And the only way you can really overlook the bad is if you get hungry enough. Let me help you today and tell you, if all you do is come to church and find the negative, you're not hungry enough. Because real hunger blinds you from seeing everything wrong. Real hunger eliminates all the excuses. Why not? Hunger starts letting you see how you can. Hunger starts letting you see what's right with the church. Hunger brings unity. It's too hot. It's too cold. Preacher's too young, preacher's too old. Music's too old-fashioned, music's too contemporary. Church is too big, church is too small. I'm going to tell you, it's always something with people that ain't really hungry. He preaches too long, he preaches too short. He doesn't preach it hard enough, he preaches it too straight. It's always something with people that ain't really hungry. I've saddled up to mama's table more than once, and she's put broccoli on the table. And I don't like broccoli. But because I hadn't eaten anything else that day, hunger overrode what I didn't really like. And I licked the plate clean and asked for seconds. You want to know what hunger will do for you? It'll let you sit at the table. and say, hey, that don't really feel good to me, Pastor, but I'll take seconds because I'm so hungry, and this is what's going to keep me another day. This is what's going to save my soul. I'm going to tell you today, if we could ever get hungry for what God really has, it'll change the dynamic of Apostolic Lighthouse. Oh God, unity is everything. That's why the devil fights unity in the church so much. He knows what happens when just two or three are gathered together. Listen, we want everybody on board, but we understand you're probably not going to get on board, and that's fine. But if we have two or three, we can have what God wants us to have, because we understand God shows up in unity. The devil hates a unified church. And as long as there's unity, there will be a devil who hates you and tries to mess it up. But as long as there is unity, there will be a God who dwells in your midst and moves in a mighty way, service after service after service. Anybody want to move a God? Some of y'all are saying, we're going to wait till Sunday before we get with this old preacher. That's all right. We're going to preach tonight. It was hunger, I believe with all of my heart, that attracted God to these lepers in the story. Barely able to walk, no doubt, somehow, some way, in their desperate struggle to satisfy their hunger. I can see God overlooking the banisters of heaven and saying to himself, I can do something with hungry people willing to do something with their hunger. Staggering, struggling, stumbling footsteps of four hungry men who did not have it all together were magnified in such a way that caused the Syrian army to turn and tuck tail and run. God took what started with hunger and caused havoc in the enemy's camp. There's got to be a transition today that God can say, I can take hunger and I can create havoc in hell today. I believe every stronghold in Nacogdoches can be brought down. I believe every chain in Nacogdoches can be broken. I believe every foothold the devil has in this town can be stomped out. But if it's ever going to happen, it's going to be because somewhere people of the house of the Lord are going to say, hey, we're going to get hungry about this thing. And when hunger is birthed, hunger's going to bring havoc in the enemy's camp. I just have to wonder today, what kind of disruption and what kind of problems could the church cause for the gates of hell if we ever really got hungry? What could God magnify in our lives if we started marching with hungry hearts? I want you to understand today, God was already greater than the Syrian army, but hunger caused God to take four lepers and make them greater than the Syrian army. God wants to take this church and he wants to magnify. He wants to put your name all over this town and let everybody know there's a real church. There's an apostolic church. There's a one God church. I promise you, hell will turn and run the opposite direction when the church gets hungry. Hallelujah. I wish I had the voice and the throat to preach this like I really feel it today. But I'm trying to help somebody and tell you where revival is going to begin. It's going to begin with hunger. Where victory's ever going to take place is going to begin with hunger. What you're going to need to rise up in the twilight hours of this world is going to be old-fashioned hunger. Amen. If you want change in your life, you're going to have to get hungry. Yes. Amen. You can be seated. I'll tell you this way, just try to drive this home. We pastored for a couple of years, my wife and I. I love going to my office every day. I'd go there and had a kind of my own little schedule. I worked and prayed and studied. And I knew about every day that 6 o'clock was coming. And at 6 o'clock, something good happens. My sweetheart was going to put something good to eat on the table. And where the church was about 7 or 8 minutes down the hill. And I could pass by McDonald's on my way home. I don't really like McDonald's. I eat it out of a have to every now and then. But, you know, when you're so hungry and you pass by McDonald's and you can just smell that salt dripping off them fresh hot fries. And I learned that in about that 7 or 8 minute trip up the hill, I could stop, get me a 10-piece nugget with barbecue sauce, a large fry, and a Coca-Cola, and I could have every bit of it eaten before I got to the top of the hill. But without fail, I would sit down at the table. I'd make sure there was nothing in my teeth. I'd make sure I didn't smell like McDonald's. I'd sit there and she put them pork chops and mashed potatoes and green beans and corn on the cob. And man, I look over in the oven light and see that fresh homemade chocolate cake rising up. I thought, oh Lord, have mercy. And I wouldn't tell her I'd already eaten just 10 minutes before. But she'd know because I'd just be picking at what she cooked. And she'd say, have you eaten already? Well, I've eaten today at least one time. The problem was, is that I had already filled up on junk. Instead of enjoying something prepared for me in love. If you're not hungry for the things of God and the will of God and the ways of God, what are you hungry for? Because you're going to be hungry one way or the other. It just depends on what you're hungry for. Better yet, let me just ask you, what have you been filling up on that you have no room for the things of God? Can I just tell you, if you're filling up on the things of this world, the junk food of this world, things that appease your flesh, things that taste sweet to your spiritual palate, you are ruining your spiritual health. But trust me today, if you'll ever taste and see that the Lord is good, I'm here to tell you, the hungrier that you become for God and all that He has, the less hungry you become for the things of this world. God is wanting to know today, are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with what He's done so far? I'm thankful. We're blessed. We sang it right out the opening song today, how much thanks we have in our hearts for what God has done. I am so thankful. But I'm here to tell you, I want to go further. I want you to go further. God has more. God wants us to go deeper. And the answer to all of what we're searching for today is just in the matter of how hungry we are willing to get. Because hunger brings victory in the harvest and all of the things that we want to see God do. Time does not permit, but you know the rest of the story. These four hungry men, having found a place of satisfaction and fulfillment, said one to another, we're going to cause mischief. We're going to bring something bad upon ourselves if we keep all this to us. And if we don't do the right thing and go tell the city what we found. And so they gather themselves together and they tell the people of the city where to find bread. Perhaps in a third world country, what I'm preaching today does not solve anything. Maybe hunger is not the antidote to a famine on the other side of the world. But in the spirit realm today, in the scope of what God wants to do in Nacogdoches, Texas, hunger is the very antidote to the famine in this land. Because as it was in this story, an entire city overcome with famine was fed because of the efforts of four hungry men. Four hungry people changed the outcome of an entire city that was destined for death. I have to believe today and wonder that if God could take hunger in four and save an entire city in the Old Testament, and God has not changed, then surely if we got hungry enough, God could begin to save the city around us. A city doomed for an eternity without God. If you don't know it already, there is a great famine in Nacogdoches and surrounding area. And the only antidote, the only remedy we're going to have to save this city is to make for sure we let God know
We're hungrier than we've ever been. And we refuse to sit here till we die. We're so hungry that we're going to be unified. We're so hungry we're going to overlook the deficiencies in our brothers and sisters. We're hungrier more than anything else in this world. And when God sees your hunger, God can save the city. Praise God. There's going to be labor pains. You're already feeling it. Labor pains. But first, there has to be hunger pain. I believe babies are going to be born and prodigals are going to return home. But first hunger. Revival and harvest and breakthrough and all of the things that we seek for. It's coming. I believe it. My faith is there. But first hunger. Hunger is more. The music can come today. Hunger's more than your Sunday night shout. Hunger's more than just saying, hey, pastor, I made it to church on a Thursday night and I came on an extra Tuesday night for revival. And hunger's more than just putting the tithes and offerings in the plate and just doing what you know to do. Hunger makes you get up on Friday morning and spend a few extra minutes in prayer. Can I tell you, hungry people don't have to be begged to pray. Hungry people don't have to be prodded to come to church. Hungry people don't even have to be pushed and coaxed to worship and step out of their comfort zone and give God praise because they're so hungry for a move of God, they'll do anything. God cannot force you to be hungry. I've already told you that. But I can tell you, God will fill you if you are hungry. Blessed are they which do hunger, thirst after the righteousness, the right things of God, for they shall be filled. I'm curious today. Matter of fact, let's just cut the middleman out. I believe God is curious. How hungry are you willing to get for the things He has for you? I wonder if there's anybody today that could admit, you know, I've just been kind of coasting, enjoying what we have, but I really want to feel the hunger pains for the kingdom again. Hunger, it sounds conflicting, but it really does work this way. Hunger pushes the plate back. It says, God, I surrender myself. I submit my flesh. I decrease so you increase. Hunger, it's always seeking more of God. Revival and the miraculous and the supernatural and demonstrations of the Holy Ghost and people that can walk in off the street with addictions and God just like that set them free. It can all happen in an environment that is conducive, filled with hungry people. I wonder if we'll be counted, those of us here tonight. I don't care about any church anywhere else. Talking about right here. I wonder if we will be counted as part of that group that rises up in the twilight just before He comes back and says, hunger's going to push me to go somewhere I've never been. There are sinners here today, people without the Holy Ghost, no doubt. You've been living in a place of famine, a place of want, a place without. Always wanting more, never being filled, looking for it in all the wrong places. The needles, the bottle, the things of this world, never truly filling the void, not satisfied. You live with brokenness and missing pieces, longing to just be put back together in some way. Your answer is the same as the saint of God that's been living for Him for years. To the sinner and the saint, the answer for all of us today is nothing more than hunger. Would you stand with me all over this house? Hunger moves God. Hunger solves the famine. I just wonder today if anybody can, it's still early. I wonder if there's anybody that can take just a moment and step out of wherever you're sitting today and come around and take a moment and just say, God, I'm hungry for whatever you have. What about it, prayer warrior? Are you willing to get hungry again? Intercessor, Come on, you used to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You used to do things, and can you get hungry again? How about it, soul winner? Come on, soul winner, can you get hungry again? Can we push beyond the status quo and say, hey, I gotta have more? How about it, sir? How about it, ma'am? Broken, missing pieces, looking for something to fulfill it, looking for some way to be put back together. Hunger. Hunger does it today. Come on, surely, surely hungry people won't let an altar call pass by like this tonight without lifting your voice. Hungry people raise their voice in a moment like this. Hungry people cry out to God and say, oh God, I want more. More revival. More of the harvest. More backsliders coming home. Whew. Come on, that's it. Come on, from the youngest to the eldest, can we let hunger just saturate us for a moment? Come on, hunger just forgets about the clock tonight. I know you got jobs and school and priorities, but come on, can you get hungry for just a moment? The city's depending on your hunger. There's a famine, and we have an antidote. Come on, this could change the dynamic of every service going forward until Jesus comes back. Come on, you can't be satisfied with what you have. You got to go for more. You got to dig deeper. You got to climb higher. God has more for this church. God has an unprecedented revival for this area. And it starts with your hunger. Come on, reach for Him. Reach for Him right now.
Help me run farther and go deeper, climb higher than I've ever been before. Help me do
somewhere we've never been before. We're marching into enemy territory, and God's going to do something with us. God's going to save souls and change lives because we're getting hungry right now. In this moment, in this service, we're not waiting till next service. We got to have God now. We got to see God do it now. Woo! God, we've got a famine going on. Woo! Which are hungry. on. If you're done praying, you need to find somebody and pray with them. Come on, we need to be unified in our efforts together. Wrap your arm around a brother and a sister right now. We're marching together. We're going to be hungry together. I need you. You need me. Come on. I don't see what's wrong with you. I don't see your deficiency. I don't see the missing pieces in you. I just see somebody else that's hungry.
With all of my heart, here I am. Lord, I'm hungry to know more. Help me run farther and go deeper. Climb higher than I've ever been.
Ever been.